WRHI Rock Hill.
Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 50 years. Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road.
Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more online by going to PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, as I always say, I like to have somebody brand new across the table, learn a bunch of new stuff. And I ran into this gentleman a couple of weeks ago, and after we had a short conversation, I said, would you mind coming on Straight Talk one day and talking about this? Because how often do you talk to somebody whose life is reviewing regulations and making sure the company he's working for is following all the regulations? His name is Greg Lunsford. He works with Comporium. He's the VP of Regulatory Affairs, and he smiles every day. The bureaucrats haven't beaten him up too much. How are you doing, Greg?
That's right, right. Life is good. Thank you, Manning, and thank you to Substation 2 for making this available. Pleased to be here, and I hope that I can keep the listeners awake for the next 30 minutes.
He has a great sense of humor as well. So tell us a little bit about you, your background first.
Well, originally from a small town on the Gulf Coast of Florida, Apalachicola. We had 65 miles of coastline for the entire county and less than 10,000 people
living
in the county.
Whoa!
Yeah, very rural. Started out there, went to school at what was then Troy State University, now Troy University in Alabama. After getting out of Troy, 1991, I started my first job in the telecom industry for a small telephone company in the Panhandle. So as of April 22nd, I've been in the industry almost 30 years. A little bit of time outside along the way when I came to the Charlotte area in 93 for working for what was then Alltel. They gave me a one-way ticket to Little Rock, Arkansas through corporate consolidation. I chose to take my chances on the Charlotte job market, and I've been here ever since.
Good for you.
Came to Comporium almost 17 years ago in September, would be 17. Moved down to Rock Hill from Concord shortly after starting my career here, and love Rock Hill, been in the area since then. Life is good. It's a great place to be, in my opinion. There's a lot of good evolution of a business environment, economic development in the last few years. I've been very happy, and my fiance and I are going to be married in October of this year.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. So regulatory affairs, I mean, has that always been your specialty, or is that something you just roll into one day?
My experience, mine and the experience of people that I know, is everybody starts out somewhere else within a telephone or telecom company and winds up in regulatory if you choose to. I started out in accounting and finance, for instance, closing the general ledger for my little telephone company back in 1991. But the federal and state layer of regulations on telecom companies has evolved over the years. It's different because that was the voice world back then. Now we still have voice, but there's much more of a broadband layer to what we do. But no, there's still a lot of studies that we have to do about that are related to the cost of service on the things we provide. Broadband, high-capacity services for carrier-grade types of things for AT&T, companies like that, and then for plain old telephone service. So there's a financial layer. There's a public policy layer. There's within the regulatory area for the company. And so there's also legislation that takes place when the Congress and Senate will enact a law. Then the FCC interprets that, creates regulations that are then distributed and made a part of the federal code. And so companies like Comporium and all the others have to work with our internal change management team, consultants along the way to help give us the best advice possible and work that into how we provide service to our customers, how we bill our customers, all the elements that come with from some the time someone walks into the office or picks up a phone and says, I want something from you, then we have to order it, provision it, deliver it, and then bill it, and all that stuff has to get done properly, and many times under some sort of regulatory oversight at either the federal or the state level.
My gosh. So with a company the size of Comporium, which is a very large independent telecommunications company, you have how many people that help you try to keep your hands around this thing called regulation? You can't do this all yourself.
No, not at all. I've got four people reporting directly to me. It's a fairly small group, but they're extremely bright, extremely hardworking. We have an analyst that deals with policy issues, an analyst on our cost study issues. I have another analyst that does support for other cost and compliance type of filings that we have to make monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, annually. And then I have a supervisor in carrier relations who helps with when companies like AT&T or Segra or some larger carrier want something from us, a fiber connection, they order it through her group. And then we use consultants. The telecom business is, there's a lot of regulatory attorneys that are writing and interpreting these regulations at the federal level. So we get a consultant that we have been using for a long time out of Maryland, and they're very helpful and help us make sure we're doing the right thing.
I mean, I can't imagine. Well, let me ask you this, put it this way. How many different agencies in Washington are creating regulations that you have to pay attention to? I know you got the FCC for sure, right? And I'm sure when you all were in the tower building business, you had FAA regulations you had to deal with.
Right.
What else we got?
Well, there's another group, the National Telecommunications and Information Association. They have just been given some stimulus money or federal money for potential broadband development, which would require partnerships with either states or sub-level agencies of states, counties, for instance. They just released a new set of regulations and guidelines on their interpretation of how that money should be used. The Treasury Department did the same thing on some broadband stimulus and infrastructure money that was a part of a recent coronavirus relief bill. So those two, and then within the FCC, there's an organization that is the Universal Service Administration Corporation, USAC, USAC we call them. They are kind of a subcomponent of the FCC, and they have their own set of regulations and how we file compliance documents and reports with them. There's another agency called the National Exchange Carrier Association. They're headquartered in New Jersey, an offshoot of the FCC in the 80s when AT&T was divested of the long distance into the local businesses around 1983-84. We have compliance obligations and filing obligations to them as well for certain revenue pooling. So there's an alphabet soup of agencies. And then, of course, we still have the South Carolina Public Service Commission. And within that, the administrative group that supports a lot of their functions, Office of Regulatory Staff, or ORS. So, yes, federal and state.
I've worn out already.
Yeah, I know. So yes, we have a lot of agencies that we have to satisfy, and that's my job is to make sure we're doing our best at doing that, and that we're happy with what we can work with when we get regulations from them, and that they're happy with what work products we give them.
When these regulations come out, do you have any input before they're finalized to say, this doesn't make any sense to me, and why don't you try this route instead of mandating this? I mean, do you get any opportunity to do that?
There are, yes. And in fact, the commission will either, I'm talking the FCC, sorry.
Right.
They will either receive a petition for rulemaking from some element of the industry, or they will self-initiate one and think, we need to revise these regulations. But those are put out for public comment. So we are a part of a national industry association. We will do things independently and on our own when we think it's in our best interest and we can say something that's unique about how something should be shaped or tailored. Otherwise, we'll usually participate with the federal agencies. I mean, I'm sorry, the industry associations. So, and everyone from the consuming public, an individual person, or state governments can respond with replies to these petitions.
Right.
And say, here's how we think things should be. You know, we want to do the best job we can for our customers. We want to make a sustaining business case for our company to continue generating revenue so that we can sustain ourselves. And so we try to shape the regulation by way of comments so that the regulators understand this is what it means to us if you make this decision. So here's why we think this is in the best interest of our consumers, our business as a model, and then the public policy goal that you're trying to satisfy.
Well, do you feel that when you make these comments that somebody's actually listening, or have you just spent a lot of time creating comments that are kind of put in the trash can?
No, we are certain that everything is reviewed, read, and understood. Now, we don't always get the direction that we want, but we do know that, yes, whenever we make a comment, the attorneys up at the FCC, they do read these things, they interpret it, and they think that's reasonable, or it's reasonable, but it's not exactly the policy goal that we want as the commission. We don't think it's in the public interest. So it's mixed that sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't, but ultimately we're able to manage the change and work through it. But we're quite certain that the voices are being heard.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's just suppose a new regulation comes out that's going to impact, let's say it's impacting cable TV. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any option but to accept whatever this regulation is telling you have to do. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you take the bad news to somebody who's in the cable TV department at Comporium and say, sorry, here's this. You need to change whatever you're having to change according to meet the guidelines of this new regulation.
Absolutely. Yeah, and those type of events have happened before. Carl Scroban is the vice president of cable operations, just to give you the name and the person behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But yes, we would meet with Carl and his team and say, here's how we're doing things now. Here's what we need to change in order to satisfy this new regulation. My group can handle it, or your group can, or some combination thereof, or we might have to get our engineering or network folks involved to provide some technical support. So it's there's an effort that is initiated, and we get all of the stakeholders at the table at the same time to say, this is the new world we're going to have to live in. So how do we get there, and how do we get compliant and make everything work for us and meet the obligations of the commission?
Now, does something like that happen very often?
Not as often as you might think. We have federal policy issues we have to deal with, more so on the broadband and the telecom side. Two to three times a year, we may have some things come along that we may have to make an adjustment to, or a change management type of initiation. But there's rarely is there anything drastic, like, for instance, when local competition came to be in 1996, where it did not exist before then. That was like a sea change of how telecom companies had to operate, porting telephone numbers, interconnecting with competitive carriers. Those type of events are usually a one in a career type of thing. So we haven't had anything on that scale since 1996.
With the variety of new products that keep coming out every year, mm-hmm. when Comporium gets a bead on a product that they think makes sense for their customer base, I'm sure that they have to run that thing through you guys to make sure that you understand what this widget is and how it falls into the regulatory world that you're responsible for?
Yes, that doesn't happen very often. But yes, if there is a new broadband product or some type of new a telephone feature or something new, and we haven't had many of those in quite a while. But yes, we are very aware that there are regulatory obligations that impact so many areas of our company, telephone, broadband, cable television. We still have a wireless operation at a company down in the Midlands area. And then security. Home security is not regulated at the federal level, and there's not much at the state level except for some licensing. So that has very little oversight, at least in my area. But yes, it's one of those things that we all work together and do the best we can to change management.
I'm going to ask you the obvious. You must spend a great deal of your time reading. True?
Yes. You have to be patient, and you have to spend a lot of time reading through dozens, if not hundreds, of pages occasionally of an order that will the commission. I think they get paid by the word sometimes, the FCC. They have very bright attorneys on staff, and they can craft an order that, and a lot of times it encompasses a lot of comments that people have filed along the way. And they say, here's what we believe is good, and here's what we disagree with. But all of that is re-encapsulated in the order. And then the regulation comes out and says, here's the new world that you're going to live in. But yes, those documents are quite lengthy.
So as soon as you start reading, I'm sure there are some of these where you might say, what the heck are they talking about? I mean, this is not my understanding. So you pick up the phone and call somebody at Comporium that might be an engineer or somebody else who has a certain type of expertise, sit down with them and try to make sense of what this thing is saying?
Absolutely. And most of the time, by the time an order has come out where a new regulation is being declared, there's been enough review of their proposal that we've done that homework upstream so that we're ready for whatever we see. There may be some times when we need an attorney or a consultant to help us interpret a meaning or some legal nuance that we might not be clear on, and we'll engage them at that time.
Sure. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical formula for doing it is at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come, but we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
All right, here at Substation 2, Chair Road across from Winthrop, Greg Lunsford is with us. He is Comporium's Vice President of Regulatory Affairs. This is not something that everybody would do. As he just pointed out, you spend a lot of time, I would gather, by yourself, doing a lot of reading, as your team does, and your head must be spinning, like, what are they trying to tell me? And I better understand this to make sure that we're in compliance. Is that about right?
That's right, yes. And again, I do want to point out that I have a very good support staff that assists me in interpreting and reading all of these things. I want to mention Aaron Sturgis, Chris Moody, Tara Thomas, and Christy Ramsey. Those are the people that report directly to me. And they help make my life very easy, as easy as it can be under the circumstances.
So do you see any, what do I call this, any easing of the regulations where 10 years ago, let's say, you had a pile of regulations that made no sense, and now you have a half a pile that makes no sense? I know that's been the case in the radio broadcasting business. We used to have to do all kinds of crazy stuff that made no sense. And over the years, I guess largely through the efforts of our associations, a lot of that has been eliminated. Technology has certainly helped us out as well, but we have less of that. Do you see any lessening from your standpoint?
I would say very little, if any. We still have the telephone regulations that were largely expanded in 96, again, when local competition came to be. Those are still on the books with very little, I'd say, regulatory relief. We still have a lot of obligations there. And then there's been an expansion with broadband becoming the new telephone commodity for the consuming public. Those have been added onto the existing telephone. And then there's still some cable television regulations as well. So it's been, I would say, more an expansion of where things were 20 to 30 years ago. And there's sort of an ebb and flow. The FCC, the chairman is appointed by the sitting president.
Right.
There's two Democrats, two Republicans, and then whoever is the whatever party's in the presidential office picks the chairman. So as the presidential politics changes, the FCC changes its points of view occasionally. It's by design, not a political agency, but there's still philosophies on regulatory burden, and so those will go back and forth. And we saw that with net neutrality, which was a big topic, a big hot button several years ago, and still is. One party sees interpreting the regulations a little bit less stringently than the other, and so as those things change, you get variations within a theme. But there's still a theme of net neutrality is a thing that we have to recognize and notify our customers of and make declarations and be fair about how we handle traffic. So, and that really changes with more the degree at which we have to respond and deal with those issues at the federal level with whoever's in office.
Have you ever had an opportunity as an industry to sit down with the regulators or with the commissioners themselves just to say, hey, look, you need to understand something about our industry. This is the way it operates out in the field. That's much different than the textbook things that you're creating down there in D.C. You could do all of us a great favor if you had a better understanding of what it's like to be out here in the real world. Have you ever had those kinds of opportunities?
Absolutely. They're called ex parte meetings.
All right.
If you're lucky enough to get time with a commissioner, those are possible. A lot of times it's one of their attorney advisors. And that's a great point that you made, Manning, is that most of these commissioners are attorneys. They went to law school at probably a very nice school. They worked in public policy, more than likely, most of their career, most of the time in D.C., they're not from the industry. So my job, along with the industry associations we belong to, is to sit down with them and instruct them that if you make this change, here's the benefit it could do for us and how it could make our life easier and make our customer service better or our ability to get broadband deeper into the countryside. Or if you do this, then this might be the unintended consequence of the policy decision you're making, because this is how things really do work out in the real world. So those opportunities, we take advantage of those when we can, because there's nothing like that personal conversation with someone who does not get their boots dirty out in the countryside like our employees have to, and understand this is, there's a lot of work that goes into delivering telephone and broadband deep out into the network. And so those are used as we have policy issues come up and we feel it's worthwhile that we really drive home a point that we go to D.C. Well, we used to go to D.C. Now we do things virtually with a Zoom meeting. Maybe we'll get back to personal meetings, which are much more meaningful, I think, as things settle down and we recover completely. But no, you're exactly right. We are afforded by regulations an opportunity to sit down with the FCC commissioners and their staff and instruct them on exactly what something means to us.
I think that's great, because it all translates into what is happening with the consumer. These regulations we're sitting here talking about, most people are saying, what the heck are they talking about? Well, let me give you, I think, is a good example. There was a time when you could, when you flipped on your Comporium cable TV, you got this particular lineup of channels. I mean, local channels, local broadcast channels. And then all of a sudden, some of those channels disappeared. And they disappeared because of rules and regulations saying you couldn't bring a TV station in from over in Spartanburg or Greenville. You had to have one from here or whatever it was. But those are the kinds of regulations that ultimately impact the consumer.
Exactly right, yes.
So, all right, so as you approach this end of the pandemic, I don't suppose that's really had a whole lot of impact on you, I mean, in your department? The regulations keep coming out?
Right. Not so much my department. It was a significant impact, or has been a significant impact, on how we install and repair services.
Oh, yeah.
We have initiate safety protocols that we didn't. Nobody has a pandemic playbook on the shelf, typically, that they can just pull off and say, oh, here's exactly what we do right now. So we worked with industry and HR guidance and all the public health agencies and their recommendations, and we had to put together safety protocols for entering homes when someone needed service installed, or after we went through the transition period of pretty much being, not shut down, but figuring out what do we need to do. Business offices, when the consuming public walks in, and we have people there, employees that need to be there full time. How do we manage that? So my group was fairly fortunate. I was, and we were all able to work remotely and go into the office occasionally. Again, we don't deal with the public. That's a good thing, because we're not as polished and good at it as our business office.
I don't know about that.
And our installers and repairmen. So we did not, in my group, have much of a negative impact of it. We adjusted with remote work, but it was much more meaningful for many other elements of the Comporium business.
Well, it's been an interesting journey for all of us, and I'm glad to see that it seems to be coming to an end, and hopefully it will come to an end. But, Greg, this has been very interesting. It's something that most people have no appreciation for, which is what goes on behind the scenes, and what a company like Comporium and OTS Media and others have to deal with day in and day out with the products and services they offer. They're regulated, and it takes people like you who can understand all those regulations. Thanks for being with us today on our Straight Talk program. Greg Lunsford, who is the VP of Regulatory Affairs for Comporium, our guest today on our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, don't forget, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, right here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The magical way we do it, right out here at the call of three. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
South Carolina's most honored radio station. News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock.